Chapter 30. Why is it so difficult to find God's will? Opening questions. If God exists and he has a will for people's lives, why would he hide it? If the Creator cares about his creation, humankind, and wanted to communicate his will to people and had some ability to do so, would he use a clearer form of communication that all people could have access to? Or would he use an unclearer form of communication that only a few people would have access to? If God has clearly communicated his will and you can't find it, what does that say about you? It is both amazing and tragic how much time and effort is given to answering the question of this title chapter. There are millions of Christians writing, trying to address this question, from books, to sermons, to articles, to films, to everything in between. Most Christians spend their lives in a vain pursuit of, quote, knowing God's will for my life, unquote. They latch on to one thing after another, often things that have nothing at all to do with Joshua's teachings and everything to do with making money in the world. Or, more clever Christians spend time in minimalist part-time or hobbyist, quote, ministry, unquote. They are so certain that God would not ask them to actually love him with all that is in them and thus give up their lives in this world and live for him. So instead, they start speculating about what God really wants for my life. They never stop to consider why a loving father would hide or make it difficult to know his will for his children. If God knows best and actually has plans for people's lives, then surely he would clearly communicate those plans, wouldn't he? Imagine a wise and older dad who had a great plan for his children's lives, or at least the beginning portion of their lives, yet he refuses to communicate those plans to his children. It is one thing for the children to be able to consider whether they want to accept the dad's plan. It is another thing altogether for the dad to not communicate the plan. And yet, this is one of the many delusions Christians engage in and instead of actually doing what the light of the world plainly teaches. Let's address this topic clearly. Finding God's will for how we are to live our lives does not have to be found through some personal, mystical, or mysterious spiritual process or through prayer. Rather, it was clearly given to mankind about 2,000 years ago by God's only true messenger, Joshua of Nazareth, and is freely available to all who are willing to listen to Joshua. Sadly, few people are listening. In short, God's will for how we are to be living our lives is to be caring for each other. This is what loving each other means, on a daily basis and not working for money or other material securities as our primary pursuit. Let me say that again. God's will for how we are to live our lives is to be caring for each other. That is what loving each other means, on a daily basis and not working for money or other material securities as our primary pursuit. For people who have faith in Joshua and the Creator Father he reveals, the how we are to live our lives is clearly given in his teachings. There is no need to find God's will for how we are to live our lives. He leaves the where to live our lives up to us. He leaves the lesser work, which work is how we provide food, clothing, and shelter for ourselves and others, we do in our lives up to us. The how we live our lives choice, along with whether we engage in the greater work, bringing people to our Father, are the most basic of faith choices. God's will clearly revealed, and those faith choices will set our own eternal destiny. Chapter section. Does God hide his will from people? Trying to find God's will for their life is of primary importance to many hundreds of millions of people. Perhaps billions of people think it is important to know God's will for their lives. All those people have many different ways to try and achieve this, but there are some commonalities across religions. Most religions have their, quote, holy scripture or sacred writings of people who claim God communicated with them, or they knew God or had experiences with God and wrote those communications, thoughts, and or experiences down. Those writings were passed down from generation to generation in written form and are now many people's holy scripture or sacred writings. So, For hundreds of millions of people, reading their Holy Scripture is their primary way of hearing from and knowing about God. Another way people try to use to know God or to hear from God is from other living people. Thus, each religion and or sect has their leaders, men and or women who supposedly know God well or have figured him out better than the others, and tell or teach other people about God. Many religions have their holy men, priests, religious gurus, enlightened ones, anointed leaders, prophets, popes, patriarchs, or most popular Bible teacher, preacher, pastor, elder, scholar, etc. These people are looked up to as a person who is closer to God than the person looking to them as their spiritual leader, and thus they are looked to understand God and His will for their life. This method appeals to those people who are not particularly reading-oriented and who prefer to listen to other people tell them how to know God or God's will for their lives. Of course, many religious leaders point to the Scripture and use the Scripture and say the Scripture is the best way to know God, but they usually also teach that you need them to understand the Scripture. Perhaps the third most popular way for people to seek to know God's and or his or her will for their lives is by personal experiential revelations. This method can take many forms, from three or four experiences or coincidences taking place in a short period of time and trying to piece together the message from those experiences, to having a dream, to seeing a vision, to seeking how a piece of toast took the form of the Virgin Mary and what the sign means to them. Many people use various methods to receive revelations from God. These methods include prayer, meditation, drug use, food and water fasting, hypnotic chanting, or other means. Finally, some believe a combination of the above methods will yield the best results for knowing God or His will for one's life. An important focus on the following three chapters will be the third method mentioned above, to see what Joshua teaches about revelations, visions, and dreams. In other words, does Joshua of Nazareth teach that one way he or his father will communicate to people is through visions, dreams, or revelations? There are many people who say, quote, the Spirit revealed this to me, or, quote, the Holy Spirit came upon me and showed me this or that, or, quote, I went through the refining fire with the Spirit and he showed me, or God showed me this in these dreams, or God whispered this in my ear, etc., etc. However sincere these statements might be, or however real those experiences are for an individual, the question still must be asked, are those communications from God? Can a person know for sure if they are or are not? Joshua does address all three of the ways listed above which people use to try and hear from God or to know God's will for their life. In this chapter, we will look at the Holy Scriptures way that people try to know God's will. Chapter section, the Scripture or Sacred Writings. There are many millions of people who look to the Scripture in order to know God and in order to hear from God. The Muslims have the Quran and a few other books. The Jews have the Tanakh. The Christians have the Bible. The Buddhists have the Sutras, Sanskrit, or Sutras, Pali. Those groups alone account for several billion people, and there are dozens more religions, each with their sacred scripture. Each religion has their leaders whose job often includes studying the scripture in order to pass what they learn onto people less concerned about reading the scriptures themselves. The basis for believing or trusting the scripture in each religion is essentially the same. That basis is the belief that people who lived in the past, often long ago, were somehow fundamentally different than contemporary people, usually more morally pure or holy and thus closer to God, or that God somehow worked differently in the past than today in terms of how he communicates with people. Thus many believe the people who lived long ago had communications from God or believed they heard from God or had experiences with God that they wrote down. There is no objective basis for believing that Scripture contains authentic communications from God, except perhaps fulfilled prophecy and then only prophetic Scripture. It is merely people choosing to believe or trust what their Scripture says for various reasons, usually because their religious leaders tell them they ought to, or because they find some truth in the Scripture that is meaningful to them and then wrongly assume all Scripture is truthful. While Joshua's words are found in what many people call the scripture or the Christian scripture or the Bible or the New Testament, his words are only a small part of that, quote, scripture. This author would estimate that out of the entire Protestant Bible, Joshua's words probably make up less than 5% of that scripture. For the disciples of Joshua, we are only interested in the words of Joshua, for he is our master and the only one we listen to and follow. We don't revere the scripture or believe that the scripture can lead us to God or God's will. Rather, we have our leader. Please listen to him. If you continue, quote, if you continue in my word, not the Bible's or Moses's or Paul's, etc., then you are truly disciples of mine, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, unquote. That's from John chapter 8. Please note he says my word, not the scripture or any other source of spiritual truth. He is saying to help you understand this important distinction. All of Joshua's words are found in what Bible-believing people call the scripture, but not all of the scripture is Joshua's word. Joshua's words are preserved in the first four books of what people label the New Testament. Those four books are often called the Gospels. Now, the Bible believers will claim that all of the Bible is God's word, and thus they deduce that all of the Bible is Joshua's word. This is a very popular belief and claim these days, but it is thoroughly false. For the disciple of Joshua, the scripture is only the place where Joshua's words are found. Since it is not the book or the classification of content, e.g. the scripture, we care about, but rather the person who spoke what was recorded. Joshua mentions the scripture a few times in his teachings, but the context is almost always to get the Jews to listen to their scripture. See John 8 and 10 for his reference when he says, quote, your law, unquote, in order to know that he is and was the promised Messiah of Israel. In other words, Joshua used the Jewish scripture to assist in trying to get the people living in Israel to see that he is or was their Messiah, and thus they should listen to him. Please understand another important distinction in this regard. Joshua did not teach that his followers ought to study, read the scripture in order to hear or know God. Rather, he taught that those people who were hearing him ought to believe what he said about himself, his Father, the true and living God, and God's purpose for their lives. Yes, Joshua did say that the scripture contains some important truths from God, and thus some sayings in the Old Testament to the descendants of Jacob were the word of God. Yes, Joshua did fulfill a few of the Jewish scripture's messianic prophecies. However, he also taught that the most important truth from God is that a person listen to God's Son, which is himself. It is important that the reader understand that while Joshua's words are found in what people call the scripture or the Bible, he himself does not say that reading people's words in that scripture, other than his own, will help them hear from God or know God. In fact, Joshua says this in regard to the scripture, quote, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and yet you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Unquote. That's John chapter 5. Quote, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Unquote. That's Matthew 11. Quote, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Messiah Joshua, whom you have sent. Unquote. That's John 17. These three sayings lay out one of the most important truths that Joshua teaches in terms of knowing and hearing from God. First, he says that people would search the scriptures because they think that they will find eternal life through knowledge of the scriptures. Yet this practice would be error, inasmuch as they would not turn in faith to the person of Joshua as their new truth above the scriptures. He says the scriptures, quote, testify about me, not they are to be used to know God. Furthermore, he says the scriptures, the Old covenant or the Hebrew scriptures, testifying of his being God's anointed one should cause a person to, quote, come to me, unquote, not remain in the scripture in order to have life. Let's read that paragraph one more time. These three sayings lay out one of the most important truths that Joshua teaches in terms of knowing and hearing from God. First, he says that people would search the scriptures because they think they will find eternal life through knowledge of the scriptures. Yet this practice would be error inasmuch as they would not turn in faith to the person of Joshua as their new truth above the scriptures. He says the scriptures, quote, testify about me, unquote, not they are to be used to know God. Furthermore, he says the scriptures, or Hebrew scripture, testifying of his being God's anointed one should cause a person to, quote, come to me, unquote, not remain in the scripture in order to have life. It is important to understand that Joshua never says that a book would be compiled after he left that would contain his father's words. Rather, he said that he was the father's perfect word to men, or mankind, or humankind. Please listen to him. Quote, and Joshua cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father told me. Unquote. That's John chapter 12. Why, dear reader, would you listen to other people try and tell you about God when the light says what he says above? He says that all who do not, quote, believe in me or have faith in me are in darkness. That includes people who wholeheartedly believe the Old Testament scripture as the word of God. Thus, we can conclude that the Old Testament scriptures cannot take a person out of the darkness, that they offer so little light that a person who only looks to them will be in darkness. So why would a person who knows the light want to go to the darkness and shadows to understand the light? Joshua said much about the future as it pertains to the kingdom of God and to provide his disciples a framework of understanding future events. Again, he never mentioned anything about a book being compiled, nor did he say that other people after him would reveal his father more completely than he did, let alone write down his father's wills or thoughts in writing. In fact, Joshua says that he alone is the perfect revelation of the Father, and that his words alone should be fully trusted in order to know God and his will. See Matthew 11. Joshua very clearly warned his disciples that many would come in his name and deceive many. What more could he say? And yet, his teachings remain largely ignored by those claiming he is important to them, while those same people spend much time trying to find God's will in the scripture. Therefore, while Joshua's words were preserved and placed in the Bible or the Christian scripture, he says that he alone, not the other people's words or thoughts in the scripture, is the one sure way to hear from and know the Father. Again, quote, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Messiah Joshua, whom you have sent, unquote, John 17. Chapter section, the main objections to this simple truth. Many people who have been exposed to and subsequently believe the falsehood that the Bible or the scripture, other than Joshua's teachings, is the best way to hear from God and know God, object to the simple truth that the one who calls himself the truth is to be the only authoritative and sure way to know God's and his will for a person's life. The most effective objection is to claim that Joshua himself teaches that his followers are to look to the scripture in order to know God and his will for a person's life. Joshua does not teach this. What he does teach is Some sayings and writings in the Jewish scripture, or the Hebrew scripture, or the Old Covenant contain truth. Some sayings and writings in the Jewish scripture contain his father's thoughts and thus are his word. He implies that many, perhaps most, events recorded in the Jewish scripture were accurate historical account of events, although he often does not directly address the cause of the event. And if you know the Father by the Son, then one would know certain events were not caused by God. He, in his role as the Messiah of Israel, fulfilled prophecies recorded in the Jewish scripture, thus validating his messiahship for those needing that type of validation in order to believe. Sadly, so many cannot see the simple truth that while the above 4 points are true, they do not say that the follower of Joshua needs the Old Covenant Jewish scripture in order to successfully follow him. Joshua does not say anything like, quote, read the Jewish scripture or the Old Covenant scripture in order to know God and his will for your life, nor anything to that effect. Rather, and in rebuke, he simply and plainly says, quote, if you continue in my word, teachings, truths, then you are truly disciples of mine, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Unquote, John 8. The real Joshua wants us to be free from the bondage of wrongness and sin, from the darkness of religion, religion being the things people believe and do, which have no basis in the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth, from fear and pride, which prevents us from loving he and his father, and thus be enabled to love all other people without fear. Joshua does say that the law recorded in the Jewish scripture was good and binding on the Jewish people, but he also says that the law, while good, is imperfect, and that to treat others the way you want to be treated, quote, is the law and the prophets, unquote. Next, we will take a look at how people look to other people and to personal experiences to try and find God's will. Chapter summary. People of all religions and by the billions are searching for God's will for their life. God does not hide his will. Rather, he gave his will for people's lives in terms of how to live one's life and what is valuable versus what is not valuable to pursue in life. Many people erroneously believe that the Creator has hidden his will from we, his created beings, and they do so because they refuse to look to the light. While all religions have truth in them about human nature and human relationships, there is only one messenger who most clearly conveys God's will to humanity, and that messenger's life, words, and deeds are recorded in the 4 gospel books. While the messenger's teachings are considered part of, quote, holy scripture by the religionists, his words are actually just life everlasting.